Please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We're concluding the series of messages entitled The Three Mentors. And today we're talking about the Father Mentor. Because mentoring or discipleship is a very important part of the growth of the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's something that's left out in a lot of materials that we read and study. Thank you. We know about prayer. We know about Bible reading and service and witness and things of that nature, attending church. But connecting with someone, especially on a one-to-one basis, I think is a very, very important part of you and I growing in Christ. And there are three aspects of discipleship that we can experience in our lives. There's learning from the younger generation. We talked about the younger mentor. And how God is no respecter of persons. And that God has and God will continue to use the young to speak to the old. You don't have to be wise in order to be used by the Holy Spirit. You just have to be willing. I'm not despising wisdom. There is a place for that, and we're going to talk about that this morning. And then last week, we talked about the peer mentor and how we can experience, and I think we do experience, some of the greatest growth as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ when people who are similar in their life, not just in the experiences of their lives, but who are similar in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, spur one another on to good works. Iron, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. And today we're going to talk about the Father Mentor. Reading the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Scripture says, even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. Let's bow our hearts together and let's ask God's blessing as we look to the Word of God this morning. Heavenly Father, once again we give glory and honor and praise to your name. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. And for the bread of life that was broken so that we might partake and that it might become a part of us. As we look to the Word of God, the bread of life this morning, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would just open up our hearts and spirits to receive your Word. We pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be upon us all, upon this speaker, upon every hearer. And we ask this in your wonderful holy name. Amen. Now, in the course of this message, I'll be mostly referring to this aspect of mentorship as the relationship between a father and his son. But this also applies to older and younger women. In fact, Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5 tells us, likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way that they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the Word of God. There is a need in the body of Christ today for the older, mature believer to invest him or herself in the younger. There is a need for father figures in the body of Christ. And the need has always been there. But I believe in our society, in our country, more so than maybe some other countries, some other places in the world, that this need is more critical here than it is in other areas. Because there is such an absence of mature, godly leaders. And I know it's not Father's Day yet, but this will sound a lot like a Father's Day message. Of godly male leaders in the body of Christ. This was an important part of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Paul just didn't preach this. Paul lived this. He writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In his greeting to Timothy, he refers to Timothy as his spiritual son. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope. To Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul knew, just as Jesus did in his life and his ministry, that his ministry just wasn't to the crowds. You know, the apostle or the leader over many different churches in that area of the world. And it wasn't just to the elders. You know, he kept, you know, the indication is in Scripture that he kept in contact, especially with the elders of the churches, encouraging them, teaching them, correcting them when it was necessary. But he felt impressed because this is what Jesus did. Jesus spent time with the crowds. He spent time with the 70. He spent time with the 12. And then he spent time with the 3, Peter, James, and John. Paul thought it was important and felt moved by the Holy Spirit to duplicate himself or to disciple the young Timothy to become a mighty man of God. And he did. And this ministry is needed and is important today. And as I mentioned just a few moments ago, it is especially critical in the day and age and in the country that we live. There is a lack of spiritual fathers in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe part of the reason for that is because there's a lack of natural fathers in our society. Statistics tell us that there are over 11.5 million single mother homes in the United States. Fathers who have very little, if anything, to do with their children. But one thing that stat doesn't tell us, it doesn't tell us the number of homes where there's a father who is physically present, but who's emotionally absent and is so wrapped up in his own life, he has nothing to do with the lives of his children. And let me tell you, I'm preaching to myself this morning. I'm not just pointing at you folks. Spiritually, as it relates to the church, some men are very good fathers. They teach, they care, they protect their children. But in their homes, for various reasons, they are not the spiritual leader. Either they do not know Christ personally as their Savior, or they feel that the spiritual nurturing of their children is the sole responsibility of the mother. Now, fathers are not the only reason that there are people out there, that there are children out there who don't have a spiritual mentor in their life. Sons or children sometimes bear the blame. There are times even when good fathers and sons do not get along. You know, think of how children are. You know, when a child is young, if their father says something, what they say is gospel. You know, I don't know, I can't tell you the number of times I've heard a child say to me, especially, a daughter, sometimes a son, but say, "My daddy says," like it's "thus saith the Lord," you know. If their daddy says the moon is made out of cheese, then the moon is made out of cheese, and nothing you can say can change their mind because their daddy said so. But something happens between, I'd say, the ages of 8 and maybe 13, and maybe even younger, where the word of the Father, which was absolute, infallible, equal to in a child's eyes, the Word of God, goes from being rock solid truth to being absolutely wrong in everything, in every way. My father has no clue. I have in my note, my father's stupid, but I don't want to say that. But you know how that happens within family. And you know, a father could be telling their son truth and sharing with them wisdom. But because their son has it in their mind, their father has no clue. He doesn't know what he's talking about. They won't receive it. You know, and there are reasons for that. You know, children see the flaws of their father, and you know, and almost all fathers don't keep up with popular culture, so they seem kind of out of time. And so they need somebody from outside the family to tell them the same thing that their father has been telling them for years. And all of a sudden, wow, this is a great revelation. Yeah, I've been telling it to you for years. You just haven't been open to it. But for whatever reason, the young, especially young men, there is a void in their lives and a need for a father, a spiritual father figure, to come in and to minister to them the grace of God. People need a father figure because, for whatever reason, they may not have one in their lives. Or because of maybe some things that have happened, you know, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, but, you know, one of the faults of fathers is that sometimes we're too demanding on our children. And they get exasperated, they get frustrated. And so instead of encouraging our children, we alienate them. And they feel that they're all by themselves. But despite that, and even though they might be grown men in their 20s or some even in their 30s, they're still little boys who are looking for a father figure to come and tell them and show them and affirm them in their lives. Most importantly, we all need a spiritual father figure in our lives. Because of the many ways that you and I relate to the Lord Jesus Christ, to God, the most important of those ways is to relate to God as our Heavenly Father. In the culture of Jesus at the time, Family was very important, but our society has done everything it could possibly do to dismantle the family. And it's not only affected the world outside the walls of the church, it has affected the church. And because of that, we don't have knowledge or instruction of what a healthy family is, of what a father is. And so when we hear a pastor or a preacher refer to our Heavenly Father, the young can't relate. They don't know what it is to know their father. So how can they relate to their Heavenly Father? That's why spiritual fathers are needed in the world today. And so this morning, I'd like to not just share with you, I'd like to challenge you. Every one of you are here, but especially the men this morning. I don't mean to pick on you, but this is just what I've felt in my heart today. I think that was the lady who shared that, said that. Amen. Praise God. You just keep on, sister. Amen. But I just don't want to stand up and challenge you to be a father mentor, which, yes, is important. Take that step of faith out when you see especially a young man, or in the case of ladies, a young woman who is new in the faith, who's just kind of out there kind of floundering and trying to find their way. Step out in faith. Be used by God to be a godly influence in their lives. Take hold of that mantle upon your life. Because the time is now. You know, it's funny. I shared with you that when I first began as a pastor, I was kind of the young mentor. You know, everyone I pastored, because I was in my 20s, was older than me. And then when I came here, there were still several people who were older than me. But we're all contemporaries. It was more like peer mentorship. But something has happened over the 10 years that I have been here. And the people that I used to think of as peers, young couples with young children, look at me different now. Don't look at me as a peer. I still think I'm a peer to them. But they look to me more as a father figure. And so my approach is in the process of changing. And that opportunity is for you. Will you seize it? But this morning I'm not just calling you to step out of your comfort zone and invest yourself as a mature believer in someone else, but to develop the qualities that are necessary for you to be an effective father, mentor, or discipler. I believe these four qualities are essential in order for you to fulfill this great calling. And it is a great calling, a noble calling, and needed calling. The first quality is consistency. If you want to fulfill this call, not if you want to do it. It's not a matter if you want to do it or not. Matthew 28:19 says, go and make disciples. If you are a disciple, you need to make a disciple. So if you want to be effective and used by God and have this great blessing in your life, you must have a consistent Christian life. You can't live in Neverland. Those of you who are familiar with the story of Peter Pan, and Neverland was the place where boys never grew up. How many of you have known people who never seem to grow up? They're in their 40s, but they still act like they're teenagers. They can't hold down a meaningful, they can't hold down a job. They can't maintain a meaningful relationship with other people because they're always taking. They're never giving. You know, their lives revolve around them, their comfort. This is something that we've not only experienced, you know, we've all known people like this. This is something that is becoming an epidemic in our society. I read an article and it quoted a study the UK. And, you know, in studies you take, you know, you got to take and filter them, of course. You can have a study that proves anything, but at least it gets you thinking. And this study says that adolescence has grown. It used to be something that started at age 12 and ended about age 20, 19 or 20. But it's grown. It starts early, and that's another message for another time, how, you know, our society has robbed children of their innocence. You know, shame on our society for putting things on kids that they shouldn't have. But again, another sermon, another time. But it's grown to age 28. So if your 24-year-old is acting like he or she is 14, you're not the only one. It's happening. And spiritually, there are people not 24, not 34, 44, 54, 64. Who are still wrestling with, in their spiritual walk, the elemental aspects of their faith. Their development is somehow been arrested. They haven't grown up. Some struggle with elemental issues. You know, Paul writes to Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Well, you know, that was young Timothy, and Paul was talking to Timothy, and, you know, Timothy, you're going to be a leader. You're going to be a young man, but you're going to be a leader. If you're going to be a leader, the wild oats that you've been sowing, you need to set aside. But interestingly enough, Paul also had similar words to say to a whole church, the Corinthian church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, he says, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. I'm sure there were some young people in that church, but I'm sure that there were people who had been serving God for years. And the expectation of moving beyond things, elemental sins in life, you know, the lying, the fighting, the stealing, you know, all the, forgive the expression, all the stupid stuff that we should lay at the feet of Calvary and never pick it up again. For some reason, some people just can't let go of it. And they get saved every Sunday morning only to backslide on Sunday night. Listen, if you've been serving God for any amount of time and you're still struggling with elemental issues, you will never be the father mentor that God wants you to be. He says to the Corinthian church, in the great love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, regarding his own experience. Verse 11, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. You know, being mature in Christ is not only, you know, laying aside sins, the sins of our youth. You know, David writes, you know, remember not the sins of my youth. It's also becoming a mature and respectable believer. When you're, you know, and think of a young little child, you know, we had some of them up. Aren't they great? You know, screaming before God. Like, amen. Hey, it's all right for kids to scream in church. They scream now. Hopefully they'll scream later. Amen. Just not while I'm preaching. That's good. But when you're training a young child, you got to constantly, you know, prod them, cajole them. And they, you know, they do something right. Oh, you know, you use the potty. You know, all that. But when they get older, you know, if they clean their room, if they brush their teeth before they go to bed, if they get up on time for school, if they do the schoolwork, hopefully you don't have to prod them, although, well, I'm not going to get myself in trouble as far as my own family, so I'll just leave that there. But you definitely don't make a big deal over it. Why? You expect that from them because they are maturing. Some believers never get beyond that toddler stage where they always need to be prodded and cajoled and praised. Oh, what a good job you did. You know, and I'm not saying affirmation isn't good. It's good to have affirmation every once in a while. Everyone needs that. But if you require a steady diet of that to serve God, forgive me for being frank, you have a little maturing to do. So to fulfill this calling of being a father mentor, what you need to do, and I've said this once or twice to individuals, but I've thought about saying it more often than that. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you got to get your act together. The time for childishness is done. It's time to serve the God and become a grown-up in Jesus Christ. Put away the sin. Start acting respectably. Start acting that mature Christian life. Because you might have jewels coming out of your mouth. Great pearls of wisdom. But if your life doesn't measure up to what you say, younger people will have none of it. Because as I've said before, and I'm sure I'll say again, younger people can sniff out a phony faster than anyone. Especially today. We need to be the real deal. Second quality we need to be that father mentor is that of honesty. You know, Paul said earlier, we read a scripture where Paul said, follow my example. And then he qualifies it in 1 Corinthians 11, 1. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. What was Paul saying here? He's being honest that he wasn't perfect. He knew that he was flawed. Even though he was an apostle filled with the Holy Ghost, he was still human. And he wanted to caution the Corinthians to follow only those things in his life that emulated Jesus Christ. And I don't mean to take shots at Paul. And he was a wonderful man of God. And I strive to be like him in many ways. But there's some things about him that were less than attractive. He was grouchy, short-tempered, demanding, the book of Acts, when he was before the Sanhedrin, the high priest said, "Slap that man," referring to the apostle Paul, in the mouth. And Paul responded, "The Lord slap you, thou whited wall." Shooting off his mouth. And someone says, "Dare you speak against the high priest?" And he said, "Oh, if I knew it was the high priest, I wouldn't have said it." Well, if he shouldn't have said it against the high priest, he shouldn't have said it against anyone. I'm not trying to poke holes at Paul. Believe me, he can poke more holes at me than I could at him. But he was brutally honest regarding the fact that he was less than perfect. I think as believers, when pouring your life into the life of a younger person, it's important to demonstrate a certain level of transparency. They need, in this close relationship, you see your weaknesses, your struggles, and your failures. There's two reasons for this. Number one, sons, when they see you living this Christian life, despite your weaknesses, despite failures that you might endure, despite the struggles that you might have, they will learn that it's okay. That they can accept the fact that they are works in progress when they see that their imperfect fathers can still love and serve God despite their struggles and imperfections. You know, if we present a Christianity where you have to be perfect, it would be very frustrating to those that we're mentoring. But sons not only grow by what we say, I think more so sons grow by seeing fathers work through those issues, work through those struggles, work through those weaknesses in their lives. They learn not only what they should do, they learn how they can achieve that in their lives. And they don't see that if the father mentor is not honest. And you know, you need to use wisdom, of course, in that. Now, having said that, be careful in being honest not to demonstrate a hypocritical attitude. And what I mean by that, how many have heard the expression either from, you know, a father or a boss or a teacher or some authoritative person, "Do as I say, not as I do." You know, "I don't do this. I do this, but I don't want you to do this. And you shouldn't do this, but I do it." What do you basically say when you're doing that? What you're saying, it's an attitude that doesn't work with younger people, because it's an attitude that, yes, it admits it's not perfect, but it says, "I don't care. I'm not perfect and I don't care. I don't think." And what you're saying to those you're investing in, "I think there are areas that you don't have to progress in Christ. There are areas that you don't have to overcome. There are fruits of the Spirit that you don't have to have evident and increasing in your life. There is no such thing as do as I say, not as I do," the body of Christ. In fact, even in natural life, there isn't. More often than not, kids do what you do. You know, why does my kid do this, this, and that? Well, you know, probably because you do this, this, and that. But that's not the way I taught them. Yes, it is. Thirdly, I alluded to this earlier, the quality of patience is necessary to be a father mentor. Paul writes to fathers in Ephesians 6:4, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord." There's something that fathers, both spiritual and natural, are prone to do, and that's to be too hard on their children, too demanding, too many expectations, a lack of grace. being unforgiving, and there's a reason why. We, you know, I want so much from you. Right? And there's nothing wrong with having high expectations as long as it's ministered with grace, love, and patience. But when we cross that line, we become too demanding. When the expectations are too much, we expect things to be done too quickly. When we become unforgiving, where we lack grace and mercy in the investment of our lives into other people. According to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, we exasperate our children and tempt them to be wrathful or to be angry. And all those things are born out of impatience. And friend, if you want to fulfill your calling of investing in a younger person, you must have not just patience, gracious, loving, forgiving, merciful patience. Otherwise, two things will happen in the person that you're mentoring or you're discipling. Because impatience leads to wrath, they'll become very, very frustrated. And let me tell you, people don't do good things when they're frustrated. In fact, if you want someone to sin, push them too hard to do right, and they'll go the exact opposite way most times. But worse than that, not only will they become frustrated, they could be moved to the point of quitting on Jesus altogether. I can't be the person that, not who God wants me to be, but what this person wants me to be, although the younger person might think that's what God wants them to be. And when God wants them to be that way, I just can't do it. It's just too much. If you don't have patience, you will, you know, forgive me for being frank, but you'll make a very, very poor disciple maker. And lastly, and very quickly, musicians, if you would like to come this morning. The last thing very quickly is that of selflessness. You want to be a mentor. You want to fulfill this calling. You need to be selfless. Father mentors should expect, and not only expect, but work to have the people that they mentor exceed them spiritually. You know, there's a fear in some people. You know, what if this person becomes more spiritual than I am? What if they do? What if people start looking to them instead of me? And you know, two things come into play there. One is fear. I'm afraid if I duplicate myself, I won't be necessary anymore. There'll be no more need for me. Let me tell you, that could be the best thing that would be happening. Not that there's no need for you. Don't get me wrong. I mean, misspeak. But, you know, when someone supersedes you, bless God, you can move on to someone else and invest in their lives and hopefully do the same thing. For some people, for some fathers, it's a pride thing. I don't want anyone better than me. I like the attention I'm getting. Let me tell you, this wasn't so much seen in Paul, although I'm sure it was in his heart. But this attitude of not only expecting but working to have their followers, their disciples, exceed them was demonstrated in none other than Jesus Christ himself. Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 14, verse 12, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. Let me tell you, true greatness in a disciple maker is not making someone identical to you. It's being used by God to make someone better than you. And that should be our goal, because that's the heart of Jesus. And listen, there is no shame in that. Hallelujah. Bless God. Bless God. In fact, I think there's a great reward for that in the name of Jesus. So how do we get to this place that we become a spiritual father or a spiritual mother? Where we have the ability to invest ourselves in others. You know, we talked about the different qualities that I feel that are necessary and essential. But how do we cross that threshold from being just, you know, an average person in the pew to being someone now who is a father or a mother figure? The best way to learn how to be a father is to do well to be a son. First Corinthian church was a church that was full of the various scriptures that we read. Immature believers. There was an absence of fathers. And Paul had the remedy for them. He was going to send them a son who had gone through the process. 1 Corinthians 4:17, for this reason, I am sending you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees what I teach everywhere in every church. Timothy could be a father because Timothy was a son. You know, and there is, discipleship is a two-way street. It's giving, but it's also receiving. And before you can give, you've got to receive. You have got to be a disciple. Only a disciple can make a disciple make another disciple. And so this morning, several weeks ago, when we prayed for the young mentor, we asked people under 40 to come forward. And this morning, and I don't mean to be sexist this morning, but I do feel the need this morning to especially to call men forward. If you just line up, who are 40 and older, we want to pray for you this morning. We're going to ask ladies if you would pray with us. We want to pray that not only that God would anoint you to be a father mentor, and not just in your home, in your church home, this church, there are young people who are crying out. They won't say it, but if you talk with them for any amount of time, they're crying out for someone to be a spiritual father in their lives. They need you. And we want to pray that God would not just empower you to be that father mentor, but that God would give you that desire to be a father mentor to someone younger. It will move you to a more satisfying relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because lay aside those things. Want to become more mature yourself. And there's no greater blessing than to be used by God to affect a person for eternity. So men 40 and older, if you would like to come up forward, we want to pray with you. We want to anoint you.